to turn to the 86th Psalm. Again, it is a Psalm of David. We do not know the time nor the circumstances of its writing. The inscription simply says a prayer of David. And as we stressed this morning, I believe it's a prayer that he probably spoke quite regularly through the course of his life as he fought many battles and faced many enemies and difficulties and went through one crisis after another. And I believe as he did so, this would certainly be one of those psalms or prayers that would have been upon his heart. We want to develop the message tonight from two statements found in the psalm. One concerning David, or you and I, and one concerning the Lord. And I believe these two statements really are the nucleus of the psalm, the reason for what is written in the psalm. And everything centers upon these two simple statements. To save time, we'll not read the entire psalm. We did that this morning. We will be going through much of the psalm. We just want to read verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. And then in verse 10, for thou art great and doest wondrous things, thou art God alone. The two statements that I want to focus upon, verse 1, I am poor and needy. And in verse 10, thou art God alone. I am poor and needy. Thou art God alone. Both of those statements are present tense. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, those statements are true. I am poor and needy. Thou art God. I am poor and needy. That is a statement of fact. Thou art God. That is another statement of fact. Two statements of fact that we must always be conscious of, always aware of. Two statements of fact that we must believe, that we must grasp, that we must understand. Two statements of fact that we must live in the reality of. I am poor and needy. Thou art God. Two statements of fact that need to grip our hearts. I am poor and needy. Thou art God. The firm belief and practice of those two statements are foundational to the life that we are called to live, the life that we ought to live, the life we can live, the life that we ought to desire to live. Two statements of fact that we must always remember and never forget. And that is our subject. Remember this and never forget. Remember this, I am poor and needy, thou art God. Never forget it. Remember it. Never ever forget those two statements. Carry those two truths everywhere you go. I am poor and needy, thou art God alone. So we're going to look at the first statement, and then we'll look at the second. But consider the first statement there in verse 1. I, in and of myself, am, right now, at this very moment, poor and needy. This is the third time that David has made this statement. Notice Psalm 40, verse 17. But I am poor and needy, that the Lord thinketh upon me. Psalm 70. In verse 5, I am poor and needy. Make haste unto me, O God. And then we come to the third time here in our text, Psalm 86, verse 1. Notice each time, three times so far, that he makes this statement, there is a connection to God. So Psalm 86, 1 is the third time that he's made this statement. If you go over to Psalm 109, verse 22, for I am poor and needy, and my heart is wounded within me. That would be the fourth time that he made this statement. So four times we hear David say, I am poor and needy. Now, considering that statement, from one aspect, that aspect being that we are in Christ, from that aspect we are rich. And we are sufficient. And this is what Paul spoke of in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. He said, for we know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. So there is a sense in which you and I that are saved are rich beyond imagination in Jesus Christ. There is an aspect in which you and I are sufficient. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So there is a sense in which you and I are rich. We are the heirs of all things, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We are rich beyond measure, and we are sufficient in Christ. In Christ I am rich. In Christ I can do all things. But from another aspect, apart from Christ, in and of ourselves, we're always poor. We're always needy. And just like we don't fully comprehend how rich we are, I don't believe we fully comprehend how we are in and of ourselves, how poor and how needy we really are. The word poor means to be impoverished, to be unable, to be deficient, to be very limited. In and of ourselves, we are impoverished. Apart from Christ, we are unable. We are deficient. We are insufficient, limited. The word needy is really the result of poor. And of course, it means to be in need, to be needful. Because we're lacking. It is to be distressed by lack, by what we lack. Again, I am poor and needy in and of myself. The truth that is brought forth here is one of great personal need and personal insufficiency to meet that need. In and of myself, I have great needs. In and of myself, I cannot supply those needs. It's what Christ declares in John 15:5. Without me, that's in and of yourselves, ye can do nothing. You're poor and needy. It's what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. So in and of ourselves, we are insufficient. We need to grasp that. Our sufficiency is in God. So we hear David say, I am poor and needy. And we say with him, me too. Me too. I am poor and needy. That was David's dilemma. And it's ours as well. It's imperative to the life that we are called to live that we believe, that we know, that we are always aware that we are poor and needy. And again, we do not comprehend how poor and needy we are. People often pray here, Lord, we're a needy people. Oh, yes, we are. And if we only knew how needy we really are. It is imperative to the life that we are called to live that we feel this, that we sense this. I am poor and needy. That it's real. In and of myself. Outside of Jesus Christ, I am poor and needy. That's always so. That's always so. You say, well, I'm an intelligent person. I'm a resourceful person. That might all be so. But you're poor and needy. God can take away your intelligence. Just like that. Your resources gone in a moment. We're poor and needy outside of the Lord. That must grip our hearts. We need to get up every day knowing I'm poor and needy. In and of myself, I'm poor and needy. In Christ, I can do all things. But apart from him, I'm poor and needy. We need to remember that. Never forget it. Then there's a second statement of fact. Verse 10. Thou art God. Alone. I am poor and needy. Thou art God. Read those two statements together. They should never be separated. I am poor and needy. Thou art God. Thou art God alone. You put those two statements together, and it's basically the realization He is God, and I'm not. I'm poor and needy. Thou art God. So we hear David say, you can imagine the tone that he speaks it in, I am poor and needy. And then I picture him looking up and saying, Thou art God. We need to do that often. To just look up and say, Thou art God. Thou art God. What a wonderful truth. Thou art God. It's a truth we ought to want to say over and over and over. Thou art God. Times of great difficulty. We don't know how we're going to get through. Thou art God. Thou art God. Thou art God. That is, I'm poor and needy. But You're the everlasting. You're the unchanging. You're the Almighty, all-knowing, always, everywhere, present, all-sufficient, faithful, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, and able One. I am poor and needy. Thou art God. Thou art God, the controller, the ruler, the sustainer, the emancipator, the restorer, the life-giving One. Thou art God. I am poor and needy. People will say all the time, I just don't like not feeling like I'm in control. You're not. Believe it or not, you never are. He's God. The One who reigns. The One who manages. The One who directs and guides and governs all things. Thou art God. I am poor and needy. Thou art God. One who is above all and over all and beyond all. The One who is clothed with majesty. I am poor. I am needy. Thou art God. You must remember that. Never forget it. Thou art God. He's persuaded of that. He's confident. Thou art God. We must never lose our confidence. Thou art God. Thou art God. With those words, He is saying to God, You, God, are certain. You are definite. You are established. You are firm and unwavering. You are unshakable. You are unfailing and infallible. Completely reliable. And notice that he does not simply say, Thou art God, but Thou art God alone. Thou art God without me. God doesn't need my help. He's God alone. Thou art God alone. That means there's nobody like Him. There's nobody beside Him. He only is God. Thou art God alone. He is the exclusive God. He is God solo. All by Himself. He is God. When it comes to the position that is God, He's the only one in that position. The only one. Thou art God alone. I am poor and needy. Who am I to advise God? Don't give God advice. He doesn't need our advice. He's God alone. It's expressed throughout Scripture. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 35. Know that the Lord, He is God. Know that. There is none else beside Him. That's the same as saying, Thou art God alone. There's no one else beside Him. In Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. Isaiah 45, verse 22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Again, that's just like saying, Thou art God alone, all by yourself. You are God. Isaiah 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. And we hear the psalmist say, Thou art God alone. Thou art God all by yourself. He is God alone. He cannot be replaced. He cannot be compared. There is no equal. There is no one who excels. There is no time. There is no place. There is no realm. There is no circumstance. There is no situation in which Thou art God alone is not so. It's always so. This statement is without bounds. Thou art God alone. There's no bounds. There's no limitations. Thou art God alone. Thou art a God that rules and reigns. Thou art a God that orchestrates and designs and promises and provides and sustains and preserves and blesses and answers and helps and strengthens and stirs and satisfies. That's who God is. Thou art God. Thou art God alone. That's real. That's relevant. I'm poor and needy. It's very relevant to my poverty and need that thou art God alone. It's timeless. Thou art God alone. It's always been so. It was so before there was time. It'll be so when time ends in eternity. Thou art God. It transcends every age. It transcends every generation, every facet of mankind. Doesn't matter what the century is. It doesn't matter how many things have changed. This hasn't. Thou art God all by yourself. Thou art God alone. That's perpetual. It's fathomless. It's infinite. It's everlasting. The belief and the conviction that thou art God alone. When you can look up and really believe and be firmly convicted, thou art God alone. That changes the way you act. That changes the way you react to whatever might be going on. It changes the way we see things. If all I can look at is I am poor and needy in and of myself, I'm insufficient. That's depressing if that's all you look at. But when you can look up and say, Thou art God alone, that's encouraging. That strengthens faith. The world acknowledges, for the most part, a higher power. You can ask an unsafe person, do you believe that there is a God? Some will answer, oh yes, I believe there's a God. Some might say, yes, I believe there is a higher power. But let me tell you something. We wake up every morning and we go through the day and come what may, we know and we serve, Thou art God alone. I don't just serve a higher power. I serve a God. I don't just believe in a higher power. I believe that there is one who is God all by Himself. Thou art God alone. And that'll get you through many a day. Thou art God alone. There's courage there. I don't find much courage in I am poor and needy. But there's courage when we can look up and know that He is God. And He is God all by Himself. He doesn't need me. I mean, you listen to some people and you almost wonder, well, what did God do before they came? He's God all by Himself. There's strength there. You can find resolve there and steadfastness. There's comfort there. I take comfort. I may not understand it, but I take comfort in the fact that God is in control and God knows what He's doing. I might not be able to explain why God does what He does, but I do know that He's God and that He's in control. And that strength, there's comfort there. There's gladness there. So two statements of fact. I am poor and needy. Thou art God. Alone. We need to live in the reality of those two blessed truths. And those two truths cause the psalmist to approach God with humility of heart and mind. Notice in verse 1, he says, bow down thine ear. And notice in particular that word down. Bow down thine ear. He realizes that he is talking to someone who is above him. Bow down thine ear. You don't talk to God like He's your equal. And you certainly don't talk to God as if He's your inferior. But if God is going to listen to us, He's got to stoop down to our level. Bow down thine ear. All these people who say, well, you just talk to God like you would any other person on the street. That's blasphemy. He's not just any other person on the street. He's not the old man upstairs. He's God. And we need to keep in mind He's above us. We need to remember that. And you read that first verse and you read the second verse. He talked to God like He's not going to survive without Him. And you're not. You're not going to survive without God. So you need to talk to Him. Lord, I'm not going to make it without You. He said, preserve me, save Thy servant. I'm poor and needy. Thou art God alone. That's why he said in verse 3, I cry daily. You know why? Because every day I'm poor and needy. And every day he's God. So I cry unto thee daily. It was a prayer that moved his soul in the direction of God. Verse 4, unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Unto thee. Do I lift up? There it is again. We're not on the same level as God. Verse 6, he speaks of his prayer and his supplications. Verse 7, he declares his intent and determination to pray, his confidence, his assurance. In prayer. I am poor and needy. Thou art God alone. Those two truths caused him to pray specifically or to pray for specific matters in his life. And we recognize some of those this morning. Teach me thy way. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Turn unto me. Give strength unto thy servant. Save thy servant. Realizing these two truths caused him to pray these things. I am poor and needy. Thou art God alone. Those two truths caused him to have much emotion toward God. When you realize I can do nothing without him, and you realize he's everything I need, you will have great emotion for God. We see his emotion all through the psalm. His emotion is expressed with that one letter word, oh. Oh. Notice verse 1. Verse 1. Bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me. In verse 2, preserve my soul, for I am holy, O thou my God. Save thy servant, O thou my God. Verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, O Lord. Verse 4. Rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. Verse 6. Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. Verse 8, among the gods there's none like unto thee, O Lord. He's filled with emotion toward God. In verse 9, all nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord. It's not just Lord, it's O Lord. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. Verse 12, I will praise thee, O Lord my God. Verse 14, O God. Verse 15, but thou, O Lord. Verse 16, all turn unto me. The psalm is a very emotional psalm. He has deep stirrings of emotion toward God. And the more we realize, I'm poor and needy, and he's God alone, the more emotional we are toward God. So this knowledge, I am poor and needy, thou art God. Thou art God alone. It compels us to rely upon him. It compels us to depend upon him. It compels us to lean upon him. It is a knowledge that causes us to seek him. The The more we realize our poverty and need, and the more we realize that He is God all by Himself, the more we seek Him. The more we look to Him, the more we come to Him, the more we cleave to Him. The more we cast all upon Him, and the more we rest in Him. I'm telling you, you can find rest in Thou art God. Thou art God alone. I am poor and needy. Thou art God all by Yourself. We need to know. We need to live those two truths. We need to remember them. Remember, I'm poor and needy. Thou art God. Never forget it. Remember at all times. Never, ever, ever forget it. Thou art God. Isn't it good to wake up every morning and to know and to be totally convinced Thou art God? I don't know, you don't either, what we're going to face on any given day. But Thou art God. Whatever it is that we will face, and God knows, I'm here to tell you it's easier to face with God than without Him. It's a lot easier to face knowing that God is able than thinking we're able. These are very two simple truths. One involves us, one involves God. But there are two truths that are great treasure chests. Two truths that we can, that are foundational to our lives. We need to pray every day. Lord, cause me to know that without You, I can do nothing. Without You, I am insufficient. The Lord calls me to know that Thou art God. And in Christ, I can do all things. God calls us to do things, and people will say all the time, I can't do that. Well, there's a sense in which that is true. In and of yourself, you can't, so quit trying. But in God, you can. So depend on Him. Draw your strength from Him. Aren't you glad tonight that you can look up and say with absolute faith, Thou art God. And you're God all by Yourself. Brother Larry, if you come and lead us in verse